Welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornellians. I am here with BJ Siasoko, class of 2007, and he is our latest host for the program. Woo-hoo. Welcome, BJ.
Thank you, Amanda. It's very nice to talk to you virtually here as we connect over the airways in these new times.
Yeah, I feel like now I always have to kind of say when we're recording. So we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and BJ is in New York City. I am here at my home in Cortland, New York. I work out of the Ithaca offices, but we have, I think this is week five of working
about
remotely.
Week
for
five,
us.
Something like that. Yeah. My role, I typically work remotely as it is, but even just the office that I go to here in Manhattan has been shut down for almost 3 weeks now at this point, 4 weeks. So as we keep saying, it's a new normal.
Exactly.
And we're all learning new ways to entertain ourselves and learning new ways to work as I work from my tiny studio apartment here. Well, it's not a, I call it my studio. my studio in Harlem. We're reaching you live here as I look outside my window at the pigeons that hang out outside my window that's become my new coworker.
Yeah, they're your new friends.
Exactly.
This is what we have to do now. But yeah, so the way the podcast works is, you know, we record our episodes in bulk and then we just kind of release them as we can. And usually that can be anywhere between 3 months and 6 months after we've actually recorded them. So it's April of 2020 right now. And we've recorded 4 interviews that you've done. And those were kind of at the beginning of really everything kind of shutting down. We did all of those virtually as well. I was supposed to actually come to New York City, and then maybe the day before I left, Cornell said, "Nope, you're not doing that." And that was the right call for them to make.
Cornell was like, "We don't want you to get sick. You can stay at home and use the internet. We're recorded over the series of tubes here."
And we did make it work. We did make it work. But so anyway, so why don't we start? How about you tell the audience how we know each other?
Well, where do I even begin? So many stories to talk about. Actually, you know, I don't know if you remember this. The first time I actually met you, well, I was working in admissions for another school, and we were hosting an admissions conference, and I saw you perform on stage, and that was actually the very first time that we had met.
I saw you performing
for the Jeff Love Band.
That was at Ithaca College.
It was at Ithaca College.
Oh my God.
And
I was about to say, I think you're mistaken. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, that's so
funny.
But
that was the first time we had met. I think I'd come up to you very briefly and was like, "Your band is great." And you were like, "Thank you," looking at me like I was a crazy person. And then I ran away.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm sure I didn't look at you like you're a crazy person, but a lot of people
I had a white suit on, and I think you definitely looked at me like, "Who is this crazy person approaching me in a white suit and fake white hat? And what is happening? And I'm going to go back to performing now."
That was a fun show.
It was a good time.
Those guidance counselors, they get down, man.
We were ready to party. We were ready to party. Note to self for all of you, you know, high schoolers out there that are listening to this podcast, your admissions counselors, they like to cut loose when it's no longer admission season. But that was the first time we met. And then we actually met, I did used to work for Alumni Affairs in Cornell myself. And so that's when we got to know each other much better, working on the student and young alumni programs team. So lots of fun, really thinking of new ways to engage, you know, Cornell's newest alumni. And it's been really fun. I'm glad we still keep in touch because it's cool to learn all the cool things that we're doing as Cornellians. And many, many people that might be listening might now know as well too, I am very much a diehard Cornellian, way too involved as a student and as an alum. So the job was very fun to have, doing cool new things. And this podcast is actually super cool, because I think it's been something that is just a cool new way to engage with folks. And this is my shout out to you, Amanda. But
oh,
I think
shucks.
You're doing some really cool things with it. And I'm really excited to see you know, just the folks that you've interviewed and the folks I got to interview just along with my little hosting series as well too. Lots of fun things to discuss and listen to in that space.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, give a little teaser about some of the folks that you interviewed and just what the audience can look forward to?
Of course. So, you know, I think when you first approached me about this, I don't even remember what you said. I just immediately said yes, because I was like, hosting a podcast, of course, like, this would be fun to just talk to cool people about cool stuff and just, you know, espouse my own opinion about things, because that's clearly what this is all about. But the folks we interviewed, a whole range of folks, you know, talking to Kamila Knight about her work in D&I, diversity and inclusion. We fall into the alphabet soup at Cornell very quickly. So talking about that, talked to Katie Bartels a lot about, like, museums here in New York City and her work as a gemologist and having her own jewelry line. We also talked with Ryan Silber, really about his new works. I'm a huge comic nerd, and so I think we both kind of geeked out about his work, getting to work with Stan Lee, talking about comic shops in Ithaca and about Comic-Con and just all those cool things that are happening in the super hero universe. Another great conversation with Arthur too, just about end-to-end kind of product life cycles and how we can make new products that are really much more environmentally sustainable. And Arthur is just also a hoot to talk to as well too. So getting to do that internationally while he was in Taiwan, I think was really fun to have that discussion with him too. But I don't know how you picked all four of those folks, but they were all parts of my own person. They were experts in different aspects of my personal life that I really just enjoy. So everything, you know, from diversity, equity, inclusion work, sustainability, and, you know, the environment. I used to work at a science museum for a really long time too. So environmental and science education is really close to my heart. And then just, like, superhero, comic, nerd, sci-fi stuff. It was a cool kind of gamut of things like that, and just kind of all pulling them together and just thinking about how both Cornell impacted these alumni's lives, and also just kind of just learning cool things about how, you know, we just talk about non-Cornell stuff. I think that's the joy to me. Like, I get that this is a Fresh from the Hill podcast, but I think the joy for me about our alumni community is that it's such a large alumni community that covers so many different things. You know, Cornell is involved in so many different things in the world, and just in so many different interesting ways. And I think that was just a blast for me to talk to people that are, again, just passionate about what they do. And that's always an exciting conversation to have when someone's passionate about something.
Yeah, absolutely. They were, as the person who's listening into all of the conversations, they were really, really great to listen to. And I should say that we will be recording one more for your series. We just don't know what or who that is yet. So
mystery thickens. I love a good mystery.
Yes. Well, BJ, thank you so much for joining me virtually today and for being our amazing host of the podcast. And I just want to say, stay safe and healthy. And of course, to all you listeners out there, do the same. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornellians. Our music is produced. I'm going to have to cut that out. What do I say there? I say,
I love a good outtake. Our music is produced by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2014.
2013.
Amanda, we should do a longer interview with you as the producer from Fresh from the Hill. What are some of the exciting things that you've learned as you've started a podcast and being a podcast producer?
One of the things that I've learned is anybody can make a podcast.
Which is like, are you diminishing your skill right now? Because I don't think anyone can make a podcast. Some people can make good podcasts. I think you're making a good podcast. You're right. I can just record stuff on my phone and post on the internet. Yeah. I can join the ranks of conspiracy theorists all around the world.
So one of the things that I've learned is that, well, this is not a learning because I knew this already, but there are so many amazing Cornellians out there doing amazing things, and allow the people who are experts in their field and who are good at what they do, like, do what they do best. So that's why I picked hosts who I think will do a really good job as a podcast host and why I didn't pick myself or, you know, another staff member. So anyways,
I mean, I think it's fascinating though, right? Like the, so I used to work in student affairs, right? Doing student counseling. I think one of the big things that we saw, and I'm sure you see with your work with students as well too, is that sometimes at a place like Cornell, everyone is just doing so much amazing stuff that like, who's just like the regular person that's still doing good work? They're just not, you know, curing cancer and landing on the moon tomorrow, but like are just still making contributions. And I think that's this weird paradox for me of getting to interview these great people where I'm like, I get who this podcast is for, and it's much more interesting to listen to like some of the cool people that we interviewed. But by the same token, I'm like, how do we both highlight these folks and also just celebrate the folks that just, they're just doing their thing, and that's great too.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a fail series. I mean, I want to ask that when we interview our fifth mystery guest, maybe we should just ask them as a fail moment, as a, when's the time that you really just screwed up so that alumni and students can just realize that, like, how many of these people that I know now are like all of a sudden all these amazing sourdough bread bakers? I'm like, I get it. You're baking sourdough and changing the world. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting at home trying to live.
Like, one of the things
how do
that
we have that conversation.
Yeah. On that same note, like one of the things that I've seen kind of circulating are like two sides of the coin, right? Like there's one side that is saying, well, you have all this time on your hands now, so you should be in the best shape of your life. You should be the smartest that you've ever been. You should be a virtuoso on your instrument. And then there's the other side of the coin, which I kind of relate to more, which is like, it's okay that your house is still a mess. It's okay that you are just surviving, because we're all like dealing with this in different ways. And I am not all of a sudden going to become like a marathon runner because I have all this time on my hands. Some of us just need to be okay with still being ourselves and let the dishes pile up.
Oh, totally. I think that was, I mean, you know, listeners don't know this, but like I was sick for almost 12 days in a row living in New York. I probably contracted COVID is what we've decided. And everyone was like, are you okay? It's okay to just be at home. And, you know, me being me, I was like, I can't be sick. People are depending on me. And I'm like, no one is depending on you. You are sick. Stay home, be sick, and just get better. And it's okay. And just cut yourself that slack. And like, that is, I think, a message that people in general, but especially at Cornell, I think need to hear. When sometimes, you know, you get all these Instagram feeds, all these things, I'm like, I get it. People are doing great stuff. Good for them. No disrespect to those people, but also like, you who are just doing your thing and living your life and being a functioning member of society, kudos to you too.
Good job. Like, exactly.
We don't need to do a whole expose and thing on you, but also like kudos to you because you're living.
Totally.
Who's been the biggest surprise to you as you look for where you're like, ooh?
Oh, that's a good question. This one, it turned out to be like probably my favorite episode to date, and that was the one with Justin Condra. I don't know if you know him. Class of 2014.
No.
So I just loved his story so much because he's the horticulturalist at the Smithsonian Orchid Collection.
Whoa.
And he is dyslexic and comes from a first generation family. Family didn't go to college. And he was told, you know, growing up because he had a learning disability, he would not be able to go to an Ivy League. And he went to a SUNY school, you know, really showed that he could do it there, transferred into Cornell. And I just like love so many parts of that story. And also like that you can go to a SUNY school or like a community college and then a SUNY school and like do it that way.
When I learned about all the transfers that Cornell takes in, the transfers that I've met at Cornell have been some of like the most driven, bright, kind people I've ever met. And there is something about, like, again, the reason why I love Cornell, it's like we are, the land-grant college of the world, right? Our whole thing is serving the public good, no matter who, what, where you come from, who you totally are. Like, we are any person, any study, whatever it looks like. And especially being in ILR, like, we had a ton of transfers, and there were so many people I remember being like, you're smart, but like, you just take all this stuff for granted.
Yeah.
And then there are other people that are like, they worked their butt off to get here, and then they get here and they just shine even more. And it's like, yes, this person worked to get here. And that's what I love about how many transfers we took in, is that you get it, right? Like, some people just, high school is not their thing. So they go somewhere else and they show that I can do this. And totally. Then like, great, you can do this. You spent a year there. Look how great your grades are. Come here. You can clearly thrive here. And then they do.
Yeah.
So I love transfer stories. I think they're amazing.
Yeah. And the other thing I loved about him was that he is so passionate about horticulture. Like, that is his thing. And I love, because I am not one of these people that has one thing that they're really good at, right? I just kind of admire people who are like really, really good at that one thing that they're super passionate about. You know, I'm kind of one of those people who's like, jack of all trades, master of none type of person, you know, like, I just feel like kind of like in the middle of everything. And I just really respect those people who are like, you know, plants, they're my thing. And I'm obsessed with them. And that is him. I just find it really cool. And
do you know the scientist, E.O. Wilson? He's an entomologist, and he just does ants. And like, that was his cool thing, where he just learned about ants. I saw him speak at Cornell actually too. And that was, he became very famous for like his work with ants, but then because of his study of ants, he became just a good public promoter of science and just really good at like connecting with people about science things. And again, it reminded me of why I like working in science museums too. It's like, when you're good at this thing, it's infectious and it shows, right? Like, so I'm like, ants are interesting, whatever. I listened to his talk because I, you know, at Cornell, tons of cool people come, and I think it's just cool to go see people talk. And then I left that being like, I love ants. Ants are the most amazing thing in the world. I want to quit my job and just learn more about ants. Clearly, I did not do that, and thank God I didn't, because the ant world would be much poorer off with me in it, with my awful, awful ability to do this. But like, how cool was that, that he was able to use ants, not only talk about ants themselves, but about like ecosystems and the world, right? And like, why science is important. I'm like, here's just a cool person. Just meeting other passionate people, always fun, and it always just makes your day a little bit brighter.
Totally. Yeah. So he was really cool. I mean, there are a ton that are really great. But I think that's like still my favorite episode. So
do you have a dream alumnus that you would want to get onto the podcast?
That's a good question. Not really. I mean, I feel like there are the usual suspects that people like Bill Nye or.
Yeah. Fun fact, I clerked for Bill Nye's class as a senior, and we chatted and we share a reunion year. And so it's been very fun to have that connection. As a big science educator, I'm a big fan of.
Wait, is he 72?
77.
77, okay.
Yep. So we got to connect on that too.
Nice.
I feel like I'm going to total cop out. One of my folks I think I'd want to interview would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because I think it'd just be fun to just learn about her. And I saw Notorious RBG, the movie, and she just seems like someone where, unguarded, she would have a very fun conversation, just seeing like all the things that she's seen. And I would love to learn about like her friendship with Antonin Scalia. And apparently like they were good friends, even though they were like opposite on the ideological spectrum, you know. And I'm like, that's cool, right?
That
like those
cool.
are two brilliant people that disagree about stuff, but we're able to be friends and like just figure stuff out. Like, how cool would that be?
Another cool one who to get on the podcast would be Mae Jemison,
the first
African American woman in space, I think.
Yep, that'd be really cool too.
Yeah. So
what is the effect? There's something. It's called like the space effect or something, where it's been documented that astronauts that have gone to space and see the Earth from space, it profoundly just changes them in terms of just how they view the world and like just how they just feel about things.
Yeah.
And it's even been documented on a smaller scale, like even if you just start seeing pictures of the Earth from space versus just not knowing that, like your perception of the world and like your significance in it and all that stuff is just different. And I'm like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
To just be able to see, you know, like seeing a picture of the Earth is interesting, but like, you know, just being in space and looking out the little window and being like, there it is. Like,
yep.
That's where I came from.
Just a little speck.
Yeah.
I can't even see it.
Oh, Carl Sagan. That might be another fun interview too. If we can figure out how to do a, you know, trans life.
I was like, isn't he dead? That would open up
have
a whole.
Have you ever been to Carl Sagan's burial spot in Ithaca?
I don't think so. Where is it?
So it's on, it's just above the high school. There's like a little cemetery right up there as well too. It's actually a very like peaceful, restful spot. And people like go there, that they leave little globes and planet marbles around his burial site. It's actually just a cool, I don't know if cool is the right word, I guess, but it's just a beautiful little spot where I forgot what the inscription is too, but it's just nice. And I think people sometimes go there on his birthday, like they do something, or like on Earth Day or something else too. But it's just another one of those cool spots where I'm like, here's a cool person.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice little kind of memorial.
Is it above the falls, the Ithaca Falls?
I think so. I wish I could remember more of my Ithaca geography now. Can you believe this? I don't know where. I lived there for so long and I don't know. I forgot the name of the spot now. So I have to look it up. It's on Google Maps.
Okay. Ithaca Falls is like across the street from the high school.
Yes.
Cool. I'll have to go
like
there sometime.
Right above that on that space too. But it's like another one of those cool little hidden Ithaca gems.
Yeah. There's so many. So I said that this was going to be like 5 to 10 minutes long and it's going to be like 90 minutes. 93 people are like, who is this BJ Siasoko and why is his episode so long?
Well, a lot of it I'm sure we can just edit right out.
No, we'll cut
technology.
It. Yeah, exactly. So let me see if I can do this. Thank you for joining us for that episode of Fresh from the Hill. As a reminder, music for Fresh from the Hill was written, produced, and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013, and you can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu and visit our website, alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni for more information about Young Alumni programs and how to get involved, and our Facebook page, Cornell Young Alumni Programs.